Welcome to the Confession Box podcast from the Irish Catholic newspaper. I'm Gary O'Sullivan, and this morning we're talking about a major shake-up in the Irish Catholic Church that in some sense has been a long time coming, but now that it's happening, it still feels like a surprise and will probably have repercussions for the rest of the Irish Church. So stay with us for this special podcast. I'm joined in the studio by an old friend of this paper, religious commentator and journalist, broadcaster Michael Kelly. Michael, you're very welcome.
Hi, Gary. Good to be back.
It's great to have you, Michael. Let's get into this straight away. What exactly was announced this morning in Tuam Cathedral?
Well, you know, journalists are accused of exaggerating all the time. And it's true that there can be a lot of exaggeration in journalism. But really, this is an historic move. The Papal Nuncio to Ireland, that's the Pope's ambassador to Ireland. He went to Tuam this morning to St. Giles Cathedral, basically to announce a major shake-up of the Church in the Western Province. So what he announced was that the Archdiocese of Tuam, headed by Archbishop Francis Duffy, that is going to effectively be merged with the Diocese of Killala, where Bishop John Fleming, of course, is 76, so he was past the age to retire. In addition to that, he announced that Aconary and Elphin Diocese will similarly be merged, with Bishop Kevin Doran, who's the Bishop of Elphin, taking over Aconary. Now, what's fascinating about that is the Bishop of Aconary is in Bishop years a child. Bishop Paul Dempsey is turning 53 later this month, so he's 22 more years to serve on the Episcopal bench. So, you know, what does Rome do with an issue like that? Well, in a novel fashion, they have taken him from his own diocese, being what they call in church law an ordinary responsible for that whole diocese, to now becoming an assistant bishop or an auxiliary bishop to the Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Farrell. That is a highly unusual move, because it's like being taken from having your own role to actually then coming and being a helper to someone else. So that's pretty unusual.
Yeah, and on the face of it, I suppose on paper, it's a demotion, because bishops usually are pushed either sideways or promoted upwards, even if, you know, for good reasons and bad reasons we've seen over the years. But is there a positive spin on this? Because he's gone from what is a small little diocese to essentially being suppressed.
Yes.
And he's being parachuted in as the second new auxiliary into the Archdiocese of Dublin, which is a big sprawling diocese.
Yeah, it would be really wrong to see this as a demotion. I mean, in some ways, it's a Roman solution to an Irish problem. The diocese of Aconary, where he was bishop, has only 36,000 Catholics. I mean, I'd be willing to wager that before Bishop Dempsey was appointed there, when he was a parish priest down in County Kildare and Commuter Belt, I'd be willing to bet he had more parishioners there than he actually had in the Diocese of Aconary. So moving him to Dublin, a place where you have over a million Catholics, a place where there's a lot of vibrancy, there's a lot of new communities there. This is something he was very experienced with when he was in Kildare, in terms of multiculturalism, very much the new face of the church that we see here on the eastern seaboard or in the Midlands, but perhaps you don't see as much in the West. So certainly I think it's an opportunity for Bishop Dempsey to flourish in Dublin. And certainly Dermot Farrell, the Archbishop of Dublin, will welcome the assistance, because he himself is embarking on a very ambitious program of parish renewal all around the 198 parishes of the Dublin Diocese, to try to get them to work more closely together. Because, as you know, reporting on this for years, this is one of the funny things about the Catholic Church. People who don't really understand the Catholic Church imagine it is one monolith with the Pope at the head, and, you know, when the Pope says jump, everyone says how high. But the fact is, everything works in silos. The 198 parishes in Dublin Diocese have up to this point all worked in silos. That's been true of the 26 dioceses on this island, and we've seen some of the difficulty that has caused around safeguarding, in particular, where you get an entire church signing up to these robust policies, but then one bishop decides, oh, I'm not going to do that.
But also, no auxiliaries means, if you were to use army terminology, essentially, like, the archbishop is the major general, but he's got no immediate officers underneath him. He's got vicars for rain and stuff, so essentially everything's going across his desk. So with two auxiliaries, that gives him a layer of management that he hasn't had.
Well, you're absolutely right, because, you know, vicars for rain, vicars general, those are nominal titles in many ways, because they're still priests. Like, they are not the superiors of other priests. Only bishops are the superiors of priests. So, you know, Archbishop Farrell can appoint a priest to be the coordinator of a certain area or the leader of a certain area, but he's not in charge of the priests in that area. We're actually a bishop, and we will factor into this also that Father Donal Roach is to be soon consecrated as an auxiliary bishop in Dublin. So Dublin will be having two auxiliary bishops. I would imagine that will mean Archbishop Farrell will split the diocese into the kind of pastoral areas that there were under Cardinal Desmond Connell. Because let's remember, Cardinal Desmond Connell had six auxiliary bishops. Really, that was not unusual at the time. So I would imagine what you'll see is Bishop Dempsey and Bishop-elect Roach being given specific pastoral responsibilities within the diocese for specific areas.
Just for those who aren't familiar with diocese, could we just go back a little bit quickly to Killala and the rest of the Western diocese? Like, if we use the kind of the cities or town names, so basically Galway expands, is it? And what else?
County Galway, because right. Galway City is a diocese of its own, which is the Diocese of Galway, Kilmacdua and Kilfenora. So the Archdiocese of Tuam covers most of County Galway, including the offshore islands there. So that's going to expand into parts of Mayo there. So the main town in Killala, for example, is Ballina. When it comes to Aconary is parts of Mayo, parts of Roscommon. So the main town there is Ballyhadreen, which is in County Roscommon. But of course, you know, people who follow GAA will know that Ballyhadreen plays in the County Mayo Championship. And Elphin Diocese, where Bishop Doran is remaining on, that's kind of Sligo, going up to the very bottom of Donegal, places like Mullaghmore, places like that.
Okay. I don't want us to go into a GAA podcast, so we move swiftly on. Michael's knowledge of GAA coming to the fore there. Just, Michael, somebody said to me that they feel like this is the end of the beginning of the end. They said, we've the youngest Taoiseach ever, a TikTok Taoiseach at the age of 37. Ireland has, I suppose, pretty convincingly now shaken off its Catholic past to some extent. And now the structures of that somewhat ancient past are collapsing or being realigned, might be a nicer way to put it. Where do Catholics look for green shoots in all of this?
You know, one of the great joys of my life was to interview, shortly before he died, he was in his mid-90s at this stage, Cardinal Cathal Daly. And we were having the interview at a time when various reports about abuse had come out. You know, the church was really getting an awful time. And I asked the Cardinal if he had any regrets at his age. And he said, you know, Michael, that I only have one regret, that I'm not a young priest again, because I'd love to be starting out again and facing all the challenges anew. And I really thought that was a wonderful way to put it, because you could kind of think, here's this man who's, you know, been retired for 20 years. He's been kind of off the pitch for a long time. He's probably glad to be off the pitch. And here he was wishing actually that he was back on the pitch. I mean, church structures change over time. I mean, the Irish church is fascinating, really, because our diocesan structure developed much later than the rest of Western Europe because of the dominance of the monasteries here. But church structures only serve a pastoral need. And, you know, the church's mission is the proclamation of the gospel. The church's mission is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. And the Pope's responsibility is to try and ensure what contributes to that best. This certainly is a downsizing. This is a facing of reality. This is a facing of the fact that we have declining number of clergy. We have fewer people going to Mass than in the past. That's a reality. And if you want to think of military history, Alexander the great strategist of military, he said, he who holds everything ultimately holds nothing. And I think the church understands and the church knows that as well. And this model that we've had here for a long time of trying to keep the show on the road, trying to keep small dioceses in the west of Ireland with only 36,000 people, I think you can see this as a kind of pruning, as getting the church fit for mission, a leaner church, a church that's easier to deal with, a smaller bishops' conference, something that's much more streamlined. So I think that's Rome's intention. The challenge, and I think this is where Catholics need to hold people's feet to the fire a little bit, it's easy just to make something smaller. I mean, like AIB area managers go around closing rural banks all the time, you know, and that's actually just to give more profitability to shareholders. But, you know, the church doesn't have shareholders for profits, but it has stakeholders in terms of parishioners and priests who really want the growth of the church and the growth of the faith. So we really need not just to allow this to become a downsizing, but a downsizing for mission.
Yeah, and vision, and maybe this national is it in 2026 we're going to have some kind of synodal,
a series of kind of synodal yeah. gatherings. And one point to make about that as well is that Bishop Dempsey is very much singing the same synodal tune as Pope Francis. Synodality, for people who aren't familiar with it, is this global process of reform that Pope Francis has been spearheading to try to make the Pope a bit more, the church a bit more participatory and a bit more collaborative. Bishop Dempsey will also have more free time now in Dublin. than he would have had in a canonry to promote synodality, because what the problem with a small diocese is you have all the same responsibilities in terms of safeguarding, accounting, personnel, schools, as you have in a large diocese, but you've no support network. The Dublin Diocese has a huge support network. So Bishop Dempsey isn't going to have to roll up his sleeves in a lot of diocesan administration the way he did in Connery. So I think you can watch this space in terms of what's going to be happening about synodality, and in particular, the Irish synodal pathway.
Okay, Michael Kelly, thank you very much for that. In terms of watching this space, tune into the Irish Catholic next week and online at irishcatholic.ie. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.